What if the most revolutionary manufacturing plant in the world isn't in China? It's in someone's garage down the street. In 1926, a Swiss immigrant named Fred Hauser turned his Los Angeles garage into an inventor's workshop, tinkering with an automatic sprinkler system while working at MGM Studios. His breakthrough earned him patent hash 231-1108, but the gap between invention and entrepreneurship was vast. Without manufacturing capabilities, he had to license his idea to Moody, surrendering control for royalties. Fast forward to today. You can redesign that same sprinkler as OpenSprinkler, internet-connected, smartphone-controlled, open source, and bring it to market for under $5,000. The kit now sells for $79.95, a fraction of proprietary systems. This collapse of barriers between idea and product isn't just convenient, it's rewriting the rules of who gets to make things and how wealth gets created. Nearly 1,000 makerspaces now exist globally. Shanghai alone is building 100. These aren't just hobbyist hangouts, they're the infrastructure of a new industrial age. What makes this movement transformative isn't the tools themselves, but three converging forces: digital desktop tools that let anyone design and prototype, a culture of sharing designs online, and common file standards that turn a bedroom sketch into a factory-ready blueprint. This isn't nostalgia for craftwork, it's manufacturing meeting the internet's DNA. Manufacturing comprises a quarter of the U.S. economy, three quarters when counting distribution and retail. Despite digital obsessions, we inhabit a world of atoms, physical objects we touch, wear, and use. Yet manufacturing employment has plummeted to century-long lows. The solution isn't resurrecting giant factories, but creating bottom-up, distributed production networks. Modern CAD software lets designers toggle between print local for prototyping and print global for volume production with one click, compressing three centuries of industrial evolution into a menu option. James Hargreaves watched his spinning wheel topple in 1766 and noticed it kept operating sideways. This led to the spinning jenny, a pedal-powered machine letting one person spin eight threads simultaneously instead of one. Between 1700 and 1850, Britain's population tripled and per capita income grew tenfold. People moved from mud cottages to brick buildings, wore washable cotton instead of filthy wool, and lived twice as long. Machines freed humans from manual labor, creating time surplus for new ideas, a positive feedback loop defining modern civilization. The second industrial revolution brought steam power and Ford's assembly line. Now we're witnessing the third, digital manufacturing meeting personal fabrication. Manchester, once Cottonopolis and the global textile capital, exported its machinery worldwide, only to watch those same machines undercut its dominance. Today, the Northern Quarter houses web companies in gutted warehouses, while the Manchester Fab Lab represents manufacturing's future in the city that birthed its past. In the 1970s, students learned shop skills and hobbyists built Heathkit electronics. Then, manufacturing jobs vanished, school budgets shrank, and computer classes replaced shop classes. An entire generation lost the ability to make things. Now, desktop fabrication is restoring that capability, but with a crucial twist. The emphasis is on design, not manufacturing skill. Just as personal computers transformed from expensive novelties to essential tools, desktop fabrication is democratizing access to 3D printing, laser cutting, computerized embroidery, and 3D scanning. Today's 3D printers resemble the Macintosh and LaserWriter 25 years ago, expensive, difficult, yet brimming with potential. Like desktop publishing introduced kerning, desktop fabrication brings meshes, G-code, and feed rates. Captain Picard's tea, Earl Grey, hot, replicator remains science fiction, but today's 3D printers offer a glimpse. Imagine something, draw it, and a machine makes it real. These devices build objects layer by layer, with applications from printing cells for organs to printing concrete buildings. Unlike traditional manufacturing, digital fabrication makes variety, complexity, and flexibility essentially free. 1,000 different items cost the same per unit as 1,000 identical ones. However, it lacks economies of scale, making it ideal for small batches but inefficient for mass production. While 3D printers capture imaginations, laser cutters are the maker movement's workhorses, the gateway drug to digital fabrication. These machines use computer-controlled lasers to cut or etch materials from plywood to thin metal. Their popularity stems from simplicity. You only need 2D drawings. Despite working in two dimensions, laser cutters create 3D objects by cutting components that fit together with tabs and slots. The revolution isn't just turning bits into atoms. We can also turn atoms into bits through reality capture. Autodesk's free 123D Catch transforms regular photographs into 3D models, approaching the ability to photocopy reality. Mass production serves the masses, but what serves you? When Chris Anderson's daughters wanted dollhouse furniture, they downloaded free designs from Thingiverse and printed exactly what they wanted. Today's home 3D printers are crude. Think 1980s dot matrix printers, but they'll soon print in multiple materials and colors with professional quality. The internet already removed two distribution bottlenecks. Retailers can list unlimited products, Amazon, and people can find niche items, search. Now we're tackling production itself. The long tail of things already surrounds us. Vintage car parts, artisanal Etsy jewelry, hyper-specialized suppliers commanding premium prices. Digital manufacturing eliminates the cost penalty for complexity and short runs. When computers run machines, making each product different costs no more than making them identical. This isn't profit maximizing, it's meaning maximizing. Researchers discovered the IKEA effect. People bid 67% more for furniture they assembled themselves. What's revolutionary now is DIY culture meeting web culture. Products become information that can be collaboratively created, globally shared, remixed, and reimagined. After a frustrating weekend of failed tech projects, Chris Anderson realized Lego Mindstorm sensors could create an airplane autopilot. He launched DIYdrones.com for collaborative development. This hobbyist project evolved into 3D robotics, expanding from a kitchen table to two 12,000-square-foot factories. Revenue grew from $250,000 to $3 million in 3 years. Open Hardware follows a counterintuitive model, freely share digital designs while selling physical products. By 2011, over 300 commercial open hardware products generated more than $50 million annually. This approach delivers faster development, built-in market testing, and community evangelists. Companies benefit from essentially free R&D, as skilled professionals contribute during free time, motivated by meaningful participation rather than compensation. The real protection comes from building ecosystems, networks of companies and innovators creating complementary products. Open source projects like Android and WordPress succeed because openness builds constituencies that create network effects harder to copy than code itself. The maker movement returns agency to individuals in a world dominated by distant factories and planned obsolescence. A 19-year-old immigrant becomes CEO of a multi-million dollar robotics company through skill alone. A biotech worker raises $130,000 in weeks for jellyfish tanks. Designers toggle between desktop prototyping and global manufacturing with a click. This isn't nostalgia. It's digital culture's openness colliding with manufacturing's physical power. The future belongs to thousands of nimble firms serving niches too small for mass production, yet too important to ignore. The tools exist. The barriers have fallen. The only question? What will you make?